Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
This is a franchise where quarterbacks go to die.
Chicago is the place where quarterbacks go to die. And Green Bay is viewed precisely the opposite.
You obviously look into it to be the only team without a 3,000-yard passer, I believe, right? 4,000? 4,000, yeah, four. You look into it, and you wonder why. And I ask questions, obviously. I have no shame in asking questions. And so, you know, you ask why and things like that, and they're all for answering questions. They told the truth, and, you know, that's what that was. They told me the truth. They told me and my dad the truth about why and what and where and how it's going to change, and, you know, that's what we're excited about.
Maybe the best early career game of Caleb Williams. This might be the best one he's put out there yet. 298 yards, four touchdowns, 68% completions, and a rating of 142. He was special today.
Back at the beginning of the season, Zach Kiefer wrote a piece entitled The Bust Files, How NFL Teams Break Young Quarterbacks. And we do a little bit of a partner swap today because Nico Horner was on the midday show and speaks as such a great relationship that he was going to be in person for an hour. So we were like, why don't we do this? Instead of switching out both shows, we made a trade for the day. Layla would come and hang out with me, and we could talk ball, and Spiegs would go to Brick House, and they had a great time at Brick House with Nico Horner. So far, I think it's worked out for everyone. But Layla put in our group chat last night.
We have a trade to announce.
Just for the day.
The shocked crowd.
Just for the day. Don't want people running with things. This was a trade of convenience, and thank you, by the way, for saying yes to this. I know that this kind of puts your life like upside down.
Oh yeah, if there's one thing I hate, it's sleeping in after watching Monday Night Football. Let me tell you, it was a sacrifice.
It was quite the sacrifice.
It was not a sacrifice.
But yeah,
at all.
Thanks for coming to the afternoon show, and I'm looking forward to working with you. For 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock.
Damn it, Tammy. Now there's going to be things and people are going to say
stuff. I know, you said this in the 5 o'clock hour. Like, you knew what you were doing.
What, I'm not looking forward to working with her till 6? Like, come on.
It's a snipey snipe.
And then there's a whole thing, and then I'm going to get text messages. And anyway.
We heard blah, 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 but we don't check any sources, so we're just going to go with it.
That right there.
Did I say something?
You did.
Don't think I did.
And sometimes you said something by not saying something.
Well, we're in trouble.
You know, when you talk a lot, nobody ever asks you about what you don't say. What were we talking about? This is an important article, actually. It's in The Athletic, and Robbie Triano is the one who shared it with our group thread, and we just hadn't gotten to it because there's been so much other news.
Yeah, there is, but it's worth talking about, especially with Caleb being in the spotlight over the last week, people mm-hmm. being disappointed in what happened in the Detroit game and being positive about the way that he played this past week against Dallas. And it was so interesting seeing... And I'm glad that you brought this up because you and I have had conversations off the air about quarterback development. So that people understand where I'm coming from on this. I think that we're in a really interesting space quarterback-wise because now most of the quarterbacks that are coming up are coming up out of systems that have propagated high school and college. There's a lot of RPO stuff. There's a lot of shotgun or pistol. There aren't a lot of places that are running pro style. Like when I was a kid or a teenager or early 20s, you knew if you went to Stanford, they were running pro style. If you went to Florida State, they're running pro style. Alabama is running pro style.
The old school is like Nebraska option. The older school, Oklahoma wishbone. That's, you know, the list goes on. Air raid at Texas Tech.
Right. And stuff is cyclical, and now there are a bunch of coaches who have married some of that stuff. Like Ben Johnson's one of those guys where there are clearly elements of wing T football in what he likes to do, West Coast football in what he likes to do.
Zone read. Zone read was big for him on Sunday.
There's a lot of stuff that he does, like three-layer concept pass routes, like all of these things. But I think that it's made the job of quarterbacking more difficult and coaching quarterbacks more difficult because there are one of the quotes in here is there aren't any Ball States in the NFL. Like you're not getting David.
Yeah.
You're not getting a break in your schedule in the NFL unless you play Dallas and Matt Eberflus. So it makes it difficult to bring people along. I would also say that what quarterbacks have been asked to do at the pro level because of the quarterback clock with the contract, it's made teams less patient. He was a really great talk show host, less patient. Made them less patient in developing a quarterback.
And there's no better example than this weekend. You know, sources saying today that the Giants are expected to start Jackson Dart. And there's a lot of quotes in here, even though the article is a few weeks old now. I feel like they've been proven right. Like Kevin O'Connell wins the game handily with Carson Wentz, as we just discussed. He's quoted in here and says, "In what world do you go from wearing a life vest and learning how to swim to being thrown in the deep end in the middle of a 200-meter freestyle against Michael Phelps?" O'Connell asks. "We decide in this league very quickly whether a guy can or can't play quarterback, like it's a simple yes or no. This is the guy or this isn't the guy. Let's either have a parade in the streets or let's move on and try and find another one."
Here's a quote from Peyton Manning. "I hate it. Teams draft these guys without a plan. They all say they have one. Then the kid ends up playing for three coordinators in his first two seasons. It's like a young couple thinking about bringing a baby into the world. If you're not sure you're ready, just don't do it." Then the article goes on to say, "Take the last two drafts," Manning says. "Chicago's Caleb Williams and Carolina's Bryce Young, the number one picks in 2024 and 2023, respectively, enter this season on their second head coach, third if you count interims, and third play caller. So far, all they know in the NFL is turnover." Quote, "I just wish a team would admit, okay, we need a quarterback this year, but we're not 100% sure our coach is the right guy. So we're not going to bring him into this. Of course, they always draft the quarterback. Those teams were not ready," he says of the Bears and Panthers. Quote, "That's just how I feel."
But here's the opposite. The team isn't necessarily thinking about how those quarterbacks, say Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, are going to be their best selves. And we've talked about that. I've said that a million times. I want to see Caleb Williams be his best self. I want to know what that looks like. I want to know what it feels like as a football fan. I think that's important. And to a lot of coaches, like I'd say Kevin O'Connell, for example, you know, you want somebody to be their best self. I would feel that way about Ben Johnson. But the general manager of the team isn't thinking about that as much as they're thinking about how that person can help their team. And so I feel like that's where the disconnect is. Yeah, you're never going to get that to work in that way just because the system doesn't.
I think you'll like this quote from Matt Ryan, who's quoted in this piece. And always when you see a quote from Matt Ryan, by the way, connect the dots to the person running the Bears.
Multiply it by three, and that's the level of importance that quote has here.
This from the piece. For Matt Ryan, a former MVP, 15-year pro, and current analyst for CBS Sports, the NFL Today, the tenets of the job were simple: preparation and consistency. Quote, really good quarterback play is oftentimes making the boring sexy. It's not how far you can throw it. It's making the right decision in critical situations over and over and over. Look for the guys who do that. Close quote. I think that's interesting, and I think it plays into what most people have said about Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. The idea of Caleb does incredible Superman type stuff. We've seen it. Even in the games where he hasn't played well, there's one or two plays you go, oh my God, there's like three guys who can do that, that thing that he did. But it's like Matt Bowen was saying earlier today, not missing the guy in the flat, throwing a ball at a guy's feet because your footwork was bad or your arm angle was bad. And I've been watching Arch Manning, and he had a much better game this past weekend. But it
relatively
was,
speaking.
Relatively speaking. But I watch him and I go, why are you throwing? You're 6'5". Why are you throwing with weird arm angles when you don't have to? And it almost feels like it's like Trae Young. Where Trae Young is clearly doing like a Steph Curry bit, and sometimes he doesn't have to. And I see some of these young quarterbacks, and I go, why are you dropping down three quarters to make that throw when you aren't at a height deficit? For a guy like Russell Wilson, he had to do some of that stuff.
Well, because the shorter you are, the harder it is to see over the middle of the field.
Right. But for a guy like Arch to be doing it, I'm like, no, if you just stand up and throw the ball, it's unlikely that it's going to get knocked down, and you'll be able to throw with more velocity.
I think I know why.
Okay.
Because it's hard to separate arm speed and foot speed at the same time. So, like we said, there are a couple of balls that you throw where you have to have a little bit of touch on the ball, where it can't just always be the zip fastball, or it's got to be like a touch ball or a lob pass or something that's off speed. And I think that is incredibly hard for quarterbacks to do when you're also focusing on getting your footwork right as a younger player.
I asked Drew Brees about this years ago when I was working in stadium. We had a great interview with him. And one of the things I realized about Drew, and especially being in the room with Drew, Drew's not that much bigger than me. He's bigger than me, but he's not that much bigger than me. And I said to him, I said, I noticed throughout your career that when you throw, you are almost on your tiptoes when you release it. And he discussed, he's like, yeah, I kind of had to be because I'm getting the extra height in that moment on the throw.
Right.
And it's fascinating to me that the guys that played at the most elite level do think about some of that stuff. But the fundamental stuff that guys are not necessarily getting at the high school or college level, because high school and college coaches are trying just to win games. So take Justin Fields, for example. And Justin Fields at Ohio State wasn't a runner. He was a guy that threw from the pocket.
He's also 6'4".
And 235, 240 pounds. But put that guy on a high school field. In years past, he turns into another position maybe. But if you're a high school coach, you go, that's the best athlete that I have. The ball should be in his hands every single snap. And the only way to make sure that that's the case is to have that person play quarterback. And so the development.
And shortstop.
The development of players like that, it takes some adjustment. And figuring out how to do it is the holy grail in football.
I liken it to a drummer where you have to play two different speeds at the same time. Like you're playing two different cadences at the same time. And I don't know how to do it. But that's how I see it when I see some of this stuff happen. That's the part of it I think that would be incredibly difficult. I also want to point out this. Jimmy Johnson always said, and I know Wani knows this, show me the player that doesn't make the most amazing plays. Show me the one who makes the least bad ones.
That's fair.
And that's how I still feel. Now, that's old school.
Well, how about we hear from the greatest that's ever done it?
And he knows how to do this.
And he had some good analysis this past weekend about Caleb. But this was him. This was Tom Brady talking with Colin Cowherd about QB development. Take a night. Turn the radio up. Turn your desktop up. Turn the app up. Because there's a lot to learn about how the quarterback position is played and how it's perceived.
I don't care where you drafted him. I would give Caleb 11 more weeks. Caleb Williams, let's go upstairs. Is that fair? I know it sounds kind of harsh, but Thanksgiving, year two, I believe quarterbacks, if the operations aren't there, he's not the guy. Is that too soon?
Yeah, but I would argue this. You're assuming that everybody knows how to develop a quarterback. You're assuming that you're going into a program. I mean, I'm telling you, this is not, there's a lot of people who have no idea what they're doing when they're tasked with coaching a quarterback or calling an offense. So are you saying, I mean, just like we'd rank quarterbacks 1 to 32, do you rank offensive coordinators 1 to 32? Do you rank quarterback coaches 1 to 32? Well, what if you had the 32nd ranked coordinator in someone's mind or the 32nd ranked quarterback coach? How is he getting a level of development that the guy who's first is getting? When I got to the Patriots, I sat behind Drew, who was a franchise quarterback, right? In my second year, it's training camp, and we had a very good quarterback coach named Dick Rabine, and God rest his soul. Unfortunately, he passed away in training camp and of a heart attack, and it was a very difficult loss for our team. And the way that we found a way to continue on that season is Bill Belichick became more of a quarterback coach than we ever imagined him being a quarterback coach. He was a defensive, he was obviously a head coach, very involved in defensive game planning, but he decided to come in every week and talk to the quarterbacks about coverage. All right, guys. And he would do these big write-ups, and I still have them all because I kept everything. Tom, this is cover one. This is how they play it. This is who's responsible for who. Okay, if we line up in a bunch formation, this is how they're going to handle the bunch formation. This is why they do that. This is the weakness of that, why they do that. You shouldn't do this if this is how they cover this. Okay, this is cover two. This is how they cover. This is they play two variations of cover two. When they're in this variation, this is what they're trying to stop. When they're in this variation, this is what they're trying to stop. Okay, this is cover four. This is how this team uniquely plays cover four. We shouldn't line up in this formation to try to run this concept. For 1 year, I had, for actually more years beyond that, that's how I developed and learned, oh, defense calls a certain play. This is how we can put them in this formation and they can back the coverage off and I'll have a short throw underneath. Oh, great. I love that. Let's do that. Nobody's getting that type of development. So I learned from an offensive standpoint, watching Drew and having very good offensive coaches. Then I had a defensive coach, the best one of all time, teach me how to read defenses. You know, then I would go out and meet with player personnel people, you know, who are very talented. Okay. We'd go through the entire defensive lineup. Okay, these are all the things that this defense does. This is what this player does well. This player does well. This player does well. That's development. You're giving people knowledge and information that you could take to the field so that you could play with confidence and anticipation, and that would free you up to play a very aggressive style of football. So I'm saying, what if you're a quarterback and you go to a system and they don't teach you coverage? They don't teach you cover one. They don't teach you cover two. They don't teach you cover four. They don't have personnel meetings. They give you an offensive game plan and they go, all right, bud, here you go. Figure it out. And after Thanksgiving of your second year, they're going, man, this guy just can't play anymore. He stinks. He, you know, he can't read cover. It's like, dude, what did you teach him anything? Did you groom him? Did you spend time after practice? Did you work on the physical parts of his game? Did you work on his throwing mechanics? Did you work on his drops? Did you work on the mental parts of a game? Did you understand how to help him study film better? So all these aspects, physical part about football, the physical part is one aspect. I was 199th pick in the draft. because so many people were focused on a physical skill. Tom Brady, too weak, couldn't stand in the pocket. You know, is if he gets hit, he's going to go down. You know, lacks a really strong arm. That was kind of. But what I really understood, the mental, emotional part, I could bring a consistent, competitive, winning attitude to practice and the games every single week. Mentally, I could absorb information. You could give me, just like Belichick did, pages of notes, and I could process those things and then take them to the field and play with anticipation. So what I lacked for maybe in a bit of physical development, I far exceeded a lot of other people in mental, emotional development. And that's a hard thing to evaluate. But I'd also say there's not many people who even know what to do. You know, yeah. It's not like they're CEOs of businesses. A lot of times they're football coaches, with all due respect. They're not running large corporations.
Right.
You know, as Bill Parcells said, you know, they're PE coaches. A lot of times they get elevated to, you know, coaching positions.
That's Tom Brady talking about quarterbacking on Colin Cowherd's show.
He explained in one simple discussion the essential nature of how Bill Belichick found solutions for practically any problem, the importance of actually teaching players how to watch film.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about the greatest to ever do it, that indicates the level of knowledge that you have to build, and it you can't do it on your own. There's another quote in here that I want to point out before we go to the break, and I think it's important. This is a quote about Andy Reid, and it is of course from his former quarterback. Andy doesn't just know a playbook, Smith says.
Yeah, Alex Smith, like, there's another guy who's really good about talking about quarterbacks.
Absolutely, and he got the comp all the time whenever Matt Nagy was talking about his quarterbacks, balancing Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. Quote, when a coach just knows a playbook, he spends his whole career looking for players who fit that playbook.
Mm.
And when they don't fit, it's never going to work because the coach can't adapt. What do we know about that in this town?
That sounds like Matt Nagy.
Bars.
That's great stuff. I'm so glad that you brought this topic to us. And it's something that it doesn't have to end here. Like it's an evolving conversation. But I'm glad that you brought it to us so that we have it, so we can go back into some cool stuff. So shout out to you. Layla's sitting in for Speaks today. We need to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about this week for the Cubs. Because of what happened this weekend in Cincinnati, this week takes on an importance that maybe it shouldn't.
Well, and not just that, but the team who beat the Brewers is the team that you don't want to see.
I would agree with that. We'll discuss that next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers.
Oh!
Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Craig Counsell.
When I'm on Sports Talk Radio, I learn that just keep talking, and that's helpful, right?
Could you expound on that?
No, I think that says it all.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go the anti-talk radio stance here.
Afternoons on the Score.
Do you know how badly I wanted to interview Craig Counsell just to partially annoy him?
You never know what Craig you're getting. We get him tomorrow, right? 2:30? We will talk with Craig Counsell on the Spiegel and Holmes show this Thursday.
Boo to your schedule.
Well,
how dare it not fit my random day here?
Well, you've got another day here.
That's on Thursday.
On Thursday.
Looking forward to working with you.
Me too.
Until 6 o'clock.
For 30 more minutes.
Join the Score and Budweiser live from 2 to 6 at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. Rahimi, Harris, and Grody will be at a special time, 2 to 6. They're doing us a solid because we have to do shows from Vegas, and we're going to get to the airport. So we're doing middays. Spiegel and I are doing middays on Thursday, and only on Thursday. You can stop by to register to win special prizing from Budweiser and say hello to Layla, Marshall, and Groats before the Cubs game. That's Thursday at 2 at Old. We love Old Crow in Wrigleyville. It's brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you.
Layla, looking forward to hearing you in afternoons on Thursday.
The best part is then somebody's going to tweet it, and then everybody gets to talk
late.
About how much they hate the Score.
It's too late.
And then they'll be like, well, I heard this is a thing now, and then everybody gets to tee off.
And tell
tale as old as time.
And tell us how this combination would never work.
Yes, and I'm bad for ratings, even though I had a very highly rated show the last time I hosted full time.
Yep.
Yep, all of the things.
All of the things.
Maybe your favorite Peanut Gallery former anchors will chime in the chats. Did I say that one out loud?
Candy for everybody.
Did I say that out loud today?
You did.
Oh, that's
so
interesting.
Pregame for the Cubs-Mets starts at 6:05. I was expecting this to be a big week for the Mets because the Reds were still around, the Giants and the Diamondbacks were still around in the wild card race. So I'm sitting there going, this is going to be a big week for the Mets. I was not expecting this to be a big week for the Cubs. Now, the Cubs have their playoff spot locked up. They're in the playoffs. And right now, as of right now, they would be hosting the Padres next week. And I expect they'll be playing day games, but we'll see. Last night, I'm watching the Padres, and obviously I watched the Padres this past weekend over on the South Side. Shout out to Brooke Fletcher, by the way.
She's doing a tremendous job.
She is doing a tremendous job. And the fact that she got to hang out with her husband this past weekend was really dope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did like a cool thing. Anyway, she's dope and she's doing a great job on CHSN. I stayed up last night. I'm sitting there after Monday Night Football and I'm like, man, I'm buzzing because that game was so fun. I'm like, I'm not quite ready to go to bed yet. Let's see what's going on.
West Coast baseball.
West Coast baseball is always there for you. And I watched the Padres rally to win their game. And now they're 2.5 games back of the Cubs to host a series.
So it's like the hypothetical. Congratulations, the team that you hate lost. But it's to what is likely your next opponent in the playoffs.
Right, and it's not like Milwaukee losing helps the Cubs because they've already won the Central Division. So watching the Padres rally, win in extras, and see this run that they've been on, while the Cubs spent the weekend losing in Cincinnati, it was kind of like, wow, like now these games matter. Like they matter for the Mets because the Mets are trying to hang on and outrace the Reds to that last spot in the National League. But now it matters. You gotta win a couple games here. You gotta win this series against the Mets to keep the Padres off your ass for the last series of the season.
And additionally, take that out of the equation, which you absolutely cannot, but just isolate the other piece of this. You don't want your team limping into the playoffs. Like, the four-game sweep was enough. You don't want to be talking about a lack of offensive production going into the playoffs. I know we don't know what's going on with Kyle Tucker.
Literally
entirely.
Limping.
That's it. But that is not what you want. Like, period, paragraph. You want to have some sort of rhythm. You want to have some sort of confidence going in. And not to say they don't have any if this doesn't happen. But I think everybody would feel a little bit better if they won at least one of these series.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And win this one. But
that would go a long way.
Right? But then the Reds were just like, oh yeah, we have really good starting pitching. We've totally forgot about that.
Hunter Green was outstanding on Thursday.
He wasn't the only one. Like, they shut the Cubs down all weekend long. And then the first game, you're like, they're hungover. Cool. They party. They deserve to party. And I'm here for them partying.
It's a different story, though. Seiya Suzuki doesn't have the one hit.
Mm-hmm. And then you follow that up with three games where your offense isn't good. So hopefully it gets back to it. And then there's the issue of Kyle Tucker. And whether or not Kyle Tucker is going to be available for the playoffs. And what they've said is that they would like to get him back and try to get him some at-bats to see where they're at. He is not in the lineup today. Here's the Cubs lineup for today, by the way. Our guys get what they want. Horner leads off. Hap follows him. He's playing left field. Seiya is in right. Carson Kelly's behind the plate. Santana at first. Swanson at short. Turner's the DH tonight because there's a lefty going. Shaw's at third, PCA batting ninth, playing center field. And Cade Horton is on the mound. So that's good. That's real good that Cade Horton is on the mound.
Yeah, how many pitches do you think he's going to throw?
I would say he won't throw more than 85.
Agreed.
And I think that Craig Counsell has handled Cade Horton magnificently. And when we had him on 2 weeks ago, we talked about it. And the thing that I really love about Craig is that he knows that this it's not a catch-all. You can't say, well, this guy, we're just going to slow play this guy because that's what you should do. Some guys need to pitch more. Some guys need to pitch less. And you don't know. The arm is confounding. And you never know when it's just going to go. But so far, their plan for Cade Horton, who is in uncharted waters as far as innings pitched this season, has been phenomenal. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball. I think he's going to win National League Rookie of the Year, and he should win National League Rookie of the Year, and he should be your day one starter.
My only concern about that is kind of going back to what I said on the midday show about this last week. I agree with you. Cade Horton has been managed well. Aside from that, the feelings that you have about Cade Horton cannot be the same as Jake Arrieta. Like, for example,
because of the amount of innings,
Jake Arrieta was left to throw the rest of the no-hitter in 2015. Jake Arrieta was throwing eight large every time out. Baseball is not like that anymore, and I accept and understand that. That doesn't take away from what he's doing right now. It's just the two are not the same in my mind. Additionally, who's to say that he's not going to be on a pitch limit for game one of that playoff series? And that concerns me as well, because how does that set you up bullpen-wise for the rest of the series then?
I'm fascinated by the three-game series because of how do you put your pitching staff together for a three-man series. Because you need three starters, okay, instead of five or four, right? Like, in the playoffs, you don't usually go five, you go four.
Yeah.
But you have guys like, you could say, all right, our plan in this game is, in game one, is Cade Horton starts and Jameson Taillon is our next guy out of the bullpen if we get five innings out of Cade Horton where he's been effective.
I mean, similar to Cade Horton earning his place in this, which he's undoubtedly done, you could say that Jameson Taillon coming back from injury has been consistent enough to also get worthy discussion to be a starting pitcher in a playoff series right now as it stands.
No doubt. No doubt.
Because Matthew Boyd, unfortunately, has let loose for more runs per outing over the last month than we'd seen previously.
And I get the idea of the veterans should start. It was a really good conversation on Marquee. And it was Cole and Cliff and Elise and Bruce that were talking about it. And Cole and I differ very much on our baseball thoughts. And I was with him on it because he was talking about Cade Horton. And he's like, why shouldn't he start game one? I'm like, yeah, why not? If your choice is Shota, because Shota has experience playing in Japan in the World Baseball Classic, all right, I get that. But there aren't many, if any, pitchers in baseball that are pitching better than Cade Horton right now. And whoever I'm playing, have a dose of that. I'm going to welcome you into the playoffs with a dose of that. Enjoy that. And then if you win that game, you're in great shape to do whatever in game two and hopefully not a game three.
There's also some nuance to this. Number one, Matt Boyd in the playoffs, as we know, successful outings. Number two, Shota Imanaga at home, more likely to succeed. Number three, he did well against the Padres. So there's all these other elements to this that make it more of a compelling discussion than an automatic one.
I love this text from 847. Sadly, a Cade Horton on a pitch limit may still pitch longer than Boyd and Shota. Everyone may need serious pin help. You're right. And it's going to be an interesting choice. We'll talk to counts about some of that. You got any advice? I don't know what to do with counts, man. I never know which version of him I'm going to get.
I love his sarcasm. I'm kind of mad he's not more sarcastic, if that's possible.
I don't know if I'm supposed to just go full, like, crazy radio guy, but I'm kind of serious and I like to know stuff, so no, I ask questions.
I listen practically every week and giggle because I think he likes the verbal judo.
I do too. but you know, like, if that's what we're doing, then I'm going to try to flip you. And I don't want to try to flip Craig. I just want to talk baseball with him.
I think he is the driest of dry martinis.
That's good. The dry martini.
He really is. He says a lot with very little. I don't know anything about that life. But he does a good job with it.
Known you for a long time. I have seen you give paragraphs with a look.
Yeah, but that's not the same. You can't really do that on the radio. Like, Craig isn't on Zoom. Isn't he just on the phone and stuff?
Yeah, he's just on the phone. He's not like Nico. Nico's out here, like, curating where he is and giving us looks and all sorts of stuff.
Nico was at play in three acts on the Cubs video where they asked him about who his favorite NFL team was. When he was like, well, and then he stops and he thinks about it. He's like, and then the team left. It was very visually entertaining.
Yeah, he's talking about the Raiders and he ended up with probably the Bears. That's three Bears. Shota knew exactly what to say. Shota was like, Bears, bitch.
No Bears.
Damn right. Let's take a break. Our guy, Kurt Warner, and our other guy had a lot of fun on the broadcast last night. We shall share with you next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
Goff goes in the victory formation against the snap. He falls to a knee on the logo. The benches will empty. The clock will tick, and this one is over. And Detroit has gone to 2-1 with their win, 38-30 tonight here in Baltimore. And now they are tied. The Lions are for first in the North. Maybe the best division in the NFL with Green Bay and the Vikings all at 2-1. And then with Chicago's win yesterday, they get on the winning side of the ledger, and now they're 1-2.
So I don't know if I've ever told you this, Layla. Kevin Harlan's my favorite.
I'm wet! I'm dirty!
He's my favorite national broadcaster.
He could do play-by-play of life, and it would be amazing.
Now, I'm excluding people that I'm actually friends with. So, like, I'm excluding
Adam Amin
and Benetti.
John Shambi.
Yeah. I don't really know Boog as well as the other two guys, but I would consider Boog a friend.
Boog is awesome. And he's your ombudsman.
He
on
is.
On this show.
We haven't had an ombudsman moment in a while.
Well, I was the one who was giggling the whole time. It was me. I thought it was hilarious.
It is hilarious, but we haven't had a need to call him.
As the ombudsman, I'm the public editor.
Why did I love it? I am 100% a dork.
I did hear him on Hit and Run and go, huh, that would have been nice for an old Spiegel and Holmes show on a Monday, but sure, put them on a Saturday.
Man, you know how those weekend baseball shows do? You know, like one day they'll have like the biggest GM name in the game right now on the show, and I'm like, what? Like the guest booking on that show is pretty good.
It's pretty good, and I'm glad there was a special Hit and Run because Speegs was feeling a kind of way about football being here. Speaking of which, Kurt Warner and our guy Kevin Harlan.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Whoa.
I just love him. He's a crazy person, and he leans into it. They had some fun last night.
All right, we're back in Baltimore. We just saw a thriller. The Lions have won on the road to go to 2-1. 38-30 was the final. Did you know this was the second? I got a great note for you.
Okay.
Ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And you love notes, and you love,
I love
all
these notes.
You love this stuff. It's the second time since the NFL merger in 1970 the two quarterbacks entered the week tied for the NFL lead in passing touchdowns starting against each other. Got to go back to 1970. That sounds weird. You would think there'd been more of those, right?
Yeah.
Got to go back to 1973.
Wow.
Rams and Cowboys, can you name the quarterbacks?
73.
I named him without looking, and then I'm
really?
So bad at trivia, but I was.
And you
right
said
on
who
this.
The Cowboys and who?
Cowboys and Rams.
Cowboys and Rams.
That's good to have fun with names.
73. I mean, I'm going to go with Roger Staubach.
Yeah, that's one. Good job,
Pat Hayden.
Nope.
Who was?
The guy's in 73.
I'll tell you, he went on, or I don't know if he played for Philadelphia before or after, but he was wore number 18 for the Rams. You'll know it now. Come on. Come on.
Gabriel, was it?
Roman Gabriel.
Was it really in 73?
I would have thought
he was a little earlier than that. Wow, okay.
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
But did he play for the Eagles before or after?
I think it was after.
He played for him after. He played most of his years with the Rams.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think he played there from like early 60s to early 70s. Then he went to Philly and played, what, 4 or 5 years? And that's off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good if you can remember
thanks.
That. Yeah.
30.
But you are kind of old, so you were probably calling games then.
I was. So. You know, I was calling in my bedroom in Green Bay.
Okay, there you go.
I was 12 years old.
That's how you got your start.
That's how I got
Roman Gabriel against Roger Staubach, and you were throwing out facts like this.
That's exactly what I was doing with my mom
and dad. At 10 o'clock on a Monday night, they're saying, Kevin, go to sleep. Go to sleep.
That's what they do.
No,
they knock on the door and said, okay,
this is my career. Don't crush my dream. That's how it all started, people.
Let's check the final stats.
Man, I can relate so much to this because when I was younger, my parents got me a AM radio that was shaped like a football helmet. Okay?
I didn't even know those existed.
It was the 80s.
Yeah, this is back football phones.
Yes.
Know,
oh, no, football the football radio. Phone was a big deal. Yeah.
Football furniture. I don't know if you guys football furniture.
The top two phones were either the clear one that had all the wires that you could see or the football phone.
And I would be listening to stuff on that and they would be like, at the time, like Braxton and I still shared a room and they're like, go to bed, turn it off. And I would be like, you sneak under the covers and you're like, oh, let's see what game is going on with your little helmet radio. So I feel Kevin Harlan with that.
That's what my Walkman was for.
You had the Walkman?
I did.
Did you have the Discman?
I had the Discman, and then I used the cassette adapter. I loved an adapter. I used to go to Radio Shack quite a bit.
Did you have the sport version? Was it the sport version?
No, but it was metallic blue, okay? And I used the cassette adapter for my 1993 Mazda MX-6 that had like 150,000 miles on it that I drove to work.
Anyone else keep their CDs underneath the seat of their car?
I had a binder in my visor.
Nah, that's what I'm talking about.
But otherwise, under the car. And then if you were really cool, which I was not, you had the detachable faceplate on the radio. But I did have a club.
I remember thinking it was the coolest thing ever when my dad was like, oh, I have a 6-disc changer in the car. And I was like, what?
No, you don't.
What type of sorcery is this?
Next thing you know, you're going to tell me there's a phone in the console.
How about that? Shocking. Shout out to Kevin Harlan because that was absolutely amazing. And our big horse quarterback, Kurt Warner.
I thought you were going to say you're related because like they're just trying to get out of there. They're in the final segment of like their short post. And like I can just picture you and Zach just trying to get out of Syracuse or something.
Don't, please. Please don't unlock those memories.
The best part was the band just continuing to play in the background too the whole time.
They're playing for them. They're playing for Kevin and Kurt.
It's why, I'll tell you what it used to be.
Speaking of the band, did you see who was in that band last night?
Yeah, Jason Kelce.
Yeah, enough.
He was playing saxophone in the band with Baltimore last night. He actually played all right.
Amazing.
But yeah, what they used to do to us, Tanny, in Allstate, because DePaul had to play Saturday day games because of the Wolves. Oh! They would be breaking down the floor into ice while Zach and I are doing the post game and waiting and waiting for Jerry Wainwright to come out and talk to us about DePaul losing by 25.
Sliding all over the place.
There was, I kid you not, there was one time where Zach and I called the game where the only panel left was the one that our feet were on. And the rest of it was ice.
And some crew members just staring at you waiting.
And we're trying and we're like, we're sorry. We can't leave until the coach comes out here and explains why Dar Tucker went 4 for 14 from the field.
That's the respect that you get when you're a championship team in the state of Illinois, as the Wolves are. They're perennial contenders for that Calder Cup.
Hey, guys, should we, speaking of local people we should acknowledge basketball-wise?
THT?
Chicago Bulls put out the thank you for Talen Horton Tucker today. Another notable 22 in my life.
Thanks to Budweiser, you're going to see this woman, along with Marshall Harris and Mark Grody, host this very show at Old Crow on Thursday. We thank Budweiser for being a part of it. It is going to be awesome as we flip-flop shows next week. Or next week.
No,
on
Thursday.
This Thursday. So I don't even know what day it is. So I can get to Las Vegas and then really not know what day it is. For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Layla Rahimi. Just
hello.
Just for today.
Just for today. I'm back on the midday show tomorrow.
I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support. You show the show every single day. Speegs will be back with me tomorrow, I think, from 2 to 6 here on The Score.
Wow, this has just been such a pleasure. I'm such a lucky boy. I can't wait to go home.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.